We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Awesome. So, hey, check this out. We're going to be going right into God's Word this morning, diving right into God's Word. And so I want to ask you guys just to go ahead and turn to the book of 1 John chapter 1. And that'll be where we spend our time today in worship. We're in this series called This Christmas. And the whole concept behind this series is that we want this Christmas experience for you this year to be completely different than any other Christmas experience that you've had before. And a lot of times I believe that we want our Christmases to be different. We want our holiday season to be different. Like, we don't want the same thing to happen. You know, sometimes we like kind of, you know, the same thing to happen. But I think there's some things in our life that we want to change this holiday season. I'm hoping that we do. Maybe it's like some relationships, or maybe it's kind of where you are right now in life. And so one of the things that we have to understand is that in order for this Christmas season to be different, it's not about just what God is doing in our lives, but it's also about what God will do in our lives when we take a step of faith. And a lot of times, we don't like to take the step of faith in order to see the difference take place in our lives. And so it's like we kind of believe that, you know, if we just kind of, you know, come to church service, or if we just kind of do the same thing over and over again, that nothing, that things will change. I think it was Albert Einstein who said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so by that definition, many of us in here are insane right now, because we're just doing the same thing over and over, praying and hoping that it'll be different. And God is like, no, I need you to take a step of faith. So if you want this Christmas season to be different in your family, in your relationships, then that means that you're going to have to start to do some things differently. And so last week, we actually talked about this concept of forgiveness, which is one of the biggest things that many of us struggle with. We called the message, Bury the Hatchet. And how this Christmas season, God wants you and I to bury the hatchet with others. Why? Because he buried the hatchet with us by sending his son Jesus. And so if there's no other greater reason for us to forgive others, it's because Christ has forgiven us. That's what this Christmas season represents. God the Father sent Jesus the Christ, his son, to be what scripture says, big word alert, the propitiation, or the atonement, or the payment for our sins, so that way we could be in a relationship with him. In other words, God forgave us. And if God forgave us, and if you've received that forgiveness, then you are called to extend it to others. And what I've found, and I've found in my life as a believer and in many of the lives of other believers, is that, man, it's much easier to receive the forgiveness of God than to extend the forgiveness of God. Can I get a good amen right there? Yeah, and so here's my hope. I hope that you buried the hatchet. And I hope if you haven't buried the hatchet yet, that you will begin to bury the hatchet at some point. That you will begin to forgive those who have offended you, that you will forgive those who have hurt you, that you will forgive those who have talked about you, those who have ridiculed you, those who have come against you, that you would extend grace. Why should I extend grace? Because God extended grace to me. And the scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not going to re-preach that message because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. But you can go online and check it out up there. And so today we're in part three of this series, This Christmas. And today is actually kind of a message that I'm hoping will prime us up and prepare us for this coming Thursday when we have our Christmas at the Bridge experience, where we're going to be looking and praying that not only will this place be packed and filled with people, and that means that you have to be intentional with inviting people. It's not like people are just going to show up and, you know, find out about it just by osmosis. No, like, God works through the obedience of his people. And so my hope is that you'll be intentional with inviting people. But my prayer also is that we would see many people give their lives to Christ this coming Thursday. That's the sole reason why we're doing this service. And so that way people could experience God and receive his forgiveness, that they could receive the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing it. And so I hope you're praying. I hope you're like me and you've been praying. This past week, I had the opportunity when I was in the gym working out, I actually reached out to a guy that I've kind of seen and developed a relationship with over the past few months. And oftentimes we'll kind of lift weights together. And whenever I need a spot, I'm like, yo, bro, can you give me a spot? He's like, yeah, bro, I got your spot. He doesn't say it like that, but kind of. It's always cool. We always have a good time in there. But I asked him, I was like, hey, man, what are you doing for the Christmas holiday? And he said, normally, you know, my family, my friends, we kind of just get together. We just kind of hang out. And I asked him, are you going to be in town? He was like, yeah, all my family's from this area. And I said, hey, man, well, one cool thing that we're doing at our church is we're doing this really cool Christmas experience that I really think you'll really love. And he was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And he said, you know, my family, they kind of, you know, sometimes they go to church and they kind of hang out during the Christmas holiday. He says, but I'm not really, you know, I'm not really that religious. And I was like, hey, man, that's awesome. This service is perfect for you. Because I'm not super, like, religious the way you may think of either, man. I have a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. And so I gave him the invite card. And he was like, hey, man, I'm actually going to share this with my family. And if they don't already have plans, man, like, I'm going to try to bring my whole family to this experience. And so I'm praying for this guy because I'm like, man, God, wouldn't it be so awesome and to see this guy who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, who I'm seeing at the gym working out with, and just extend the invitation to him. Wouldn't it be awesome to see God work in such of a way where he and his family come this Thursday night and give their lives to Christ? And you know what that would have started with? A simple invite. Like, statistics have shown that people are more open to coming to church during the Christmas holiday season than any other season during the entire year. And I think it would be absolutely idiotic for the believers not to invite people. Yes, I said that. I believe that would be absolutely foolish for us not to extend an invitation to somebody when people are open. People are already singing the Christmas songs. They're looking forward to the Christmas holiday. Even people who are broken, they're looking for hope. They're looking for healing. They're looking for some joy. And you have the solution to that in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I hope, man, that this Christmas season would be all about that, and that this series today and this message today would push us in that direction. So I'm going to read a scripture out of 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Just going to spend a few moments here today. It says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. So if you're taking notes, I'm simply calling this message, this Christmas. Matter of fact, tell the person beside you, this Christmas, give the gift of hope. I think we'll have it on the screen. This Christmas, everybody say, this Christmas, give the gift of hope. Come on, say it one more time like you mean it. Say, this Christmas. There you go. Give the gift of hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you're good. Thank you, God, because you're mighty. We pray that you would speak to us through your word. We pray that you would convict us, challenge us, correct us, most of all, compel us to be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, give the gift of hope. One of the things that's amazing about the Christmas season, American Research Group actually says that this year it's been estimated that the average household will spend over $900 on Christmas gifts this year alone. Which is crazy because it's actually almost a $200 increase from last year's projected spending. Last year was projected about over $700 spent per household on Christmas gifts alone. And this year it's hiked up $200 more. It's about close to $930 this year. It's interesting because, like, while there's nothing wrong with Christmas gifts, there's nothing wrong with us purchasing gifts, there's nothing wrong with us, you know, buying the latest things for our loved ones to show them our love and to show them our appreciation, to buy that special gift for the person that you're dating, for your boo. The person that you had your eye on, praying to the Lord, that the Lord would open up an opportunity. Maybe husbands, like, you've been waiting for the opportunity to be able to give that special gift to your wife, or wives, you've been waiting for the special opportunity to give that special gift to your husbands, or kids, you've been waiting, young people, children, been waiting for the longest time to be able to give these gifts to your parents, whatever the case may be. But it's interesting because in the midst of all these gifts that we give, all these gifts are typically temporary. And how we know that's to be true is because the gifts that we're talking about this year, more than likely, we won't be talking about next year. All the money that we spend on the gifts, there's nothing wrong with them. But it's interesting because we spend so much money on gifts, and we go out of our way. We shop on Black Friday to get the deals, which really isn't a deal because it's really the price that it originally was. They just marked it up so they can make more money, but then marked it down so they can get your money again, right? I don't know if you knew that or not. But we kind of go out of our way to make sure that we got all the gifts nice and wrapped up. We got the tree decorated and we stuffed the bottom of the tree with all these different gifts. But man, these are some of the same gifts that years from now we'll be throwing away, getting rid of, right? Praying that you'll get the new iPhone, then this time next year they came out with another one. You're trying to get rid of the one that you just got this year, right? It's interesting to see the kind of see the parallel or to see the cycle that even in the midst of the increase of the money and all the things that we spend money on, it doesn't really change the state of people's lives. Like I've kind of oftentimes been convicted on that through the years, and that my focal point should not be just on getting gifts that are temporary. But the question should be, how can I give people gifts that will really impact their lives, that will really shape their lives? And so even though more money is being spent, it really hasn't necessarily saved more marriages. Even though more money's been spent, it's not necessarily bringing lasting fulfillment. It's not restoring relationships. It's not preventing people from taking their lives. As much money as we spend, it's not necessarily changing the overall fabric of a person's life. It typically brings a temporary high or a temporary satisfaction. But months from now, maybe even days from now, we're kind of back where we originally began. Many of the gifts that we typically will give people years from now, we won't even be thinking of them. The gifts that people need are not the ones that we get from Macy's. The gifts that people need are not the ones we get from Best Buy. The gifts that people need are not the ones we get from Target or IKEA or Bed Bath & Beyond or wherever it is that you shop. JCPenney, old school store, Hex. Not here no more, but I just figured I'd drop that for those of us who remember Hex. But no matter where it is you shop, like, people don't need those gifts the most. There's nothing wrong with those gifts. But those aren't the gifts that people need the most. Here's why. Because those gifts over time, they deteriorate. You spend so much money on headphones, them things will break down on you. You spend so much money on a new pair of clothes, moth and decay will get to those things over some time. The things that people need the most are not the gifts that deteriorate. The gifts that people need the most are the ones that don't deteriorate over time, but actually appreciate over time. Those are the gifts that people need the most. I've never come across a person who was really hopeless who was like, thank you so much for these pair of headphones, because headphones aren't helping me in my hopeless situation. I've never found people who were struggling with their identity find so much satisfaction in a new pair of clothes. It didn't really solve the problem of the identity crisis that they had. It may have covered it up for a little while, but over time, the issue continues to arise. The gifts that people need the most during this holiday season are not the ones that we can get from stores. The gifts that people need the most are the ones that we can get from God to give to people. That's what people need the most. And the gifts that God gives are the gifts that do not deteriorate. In fact, they just appreciate over time. They get better over time. This Christmas season represents a whole lot of things for a lot of different people, but in particular for believers, it represents the season in which we look to the arrival and we celebrate the arrival and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's oftentimes called the Advent season, which is the Latin word for arrival or to come or to arrive or to show up. And so this season is all about us looking back on how Jesus stepped foot into history, stepped foot into time. What does that represent? Jesus stepping into time ultimately represents God saying, I'm going to give hope to a hopeless situation. I'm sending hope to a people who are broken. That's what the Christmas season ultimately represents. It represents a season of hope. Hope because no matter what it is that you're facing, God has an answer. Hope that no matter what it is that you have dealt with all year long, God can deal with it. Hope that no matter how you're feeling right now, God has an answer for it. Now, here's what I need us to understand. I don't need us to kind of look at me with walking dead faces. I need us to really digest this, because many of us will face hopeless situations if you're not already facing one or have not already faced one. And you're going to be asking God, God, how can I get out of this situation? And God is going to say, look to what I've done for you by sending my son. That is the hope in your situation. That no matter what type of pain you have faced in 2016, the birth of Christ represents healing. That no matter what kind of frustration you faced, the birth of Christ represents satisfaction. No matter what you've dealt with all year long, no matter the rejection that you have faced, the birth of Christ represents the acceptance of God. And you didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to do anything for it except receive it by faith. And if I were to stop the message right there, that would be the message right there. That this season, y'all, is about hope. And it's not just about hope for you, but it's about hope for other people, man. Because you're working with people right now. You're in relationship with people right now who are hopeless. They are hurting. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. Y'all know that hurt people, right? You want to know some of the main reasons why people in your life have hurt you? Because they are hurting, and they have been hurt. And what they need is healing. And the only way healing comes is by Jesus. And because you and I have a relationship with Jesus, our job, our mission is simply to extend that to them so that way they can move from a place of hurt to a place of healing. That's what the season represents. And this whole letter that John is writing, in particular, these first few verses, they speak to the hope of who Christ is. Now, it's interesting because, like, as you kind of read this scripture, you know, it's not a typical Christmas story. It doesn't talk about the birth of Christ per se. It doesn't have, you know, the wise men or the shepherds or the angel or Mary or Joseph or whoever else. It doesn't have some of the main characters that we see in Matthew's gospel that chronicle the birth of Christ and in Luke's gospel that chronicle the birth of Christ. But in these first four verses of this amazing letter, it captures the incarnation of Christ. What do I mean by incarnation? It means the birth of Christ. When Christ came from heaven to earth and put on flesh. That's what incarnation means, to put on flesh. So when Jesus came from heaven to earth, it was him putting on human flesh. Now, that's huge. Because what that says is that Jesus was not just concerned about your situation where he stayed in heaven and would speak from heaven. Jesus was so concerned about you and so concerned about your situation that he stepped out of heaven and stepped into the flesh so that way he could be in your situation. That's what he did. He stepped from glory and came to earth to be with you. That's why the scripture says Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what it's about. That's what the Christmas season is all about. That even when others leave you, and even when you feel alone, God is with you. That even when you feel like everything is crumbling around you, God is with you. And one scripture says like this, and if God be for you, who can be against you? God is with you, man. That's what the season of Christmas represents. You're not alone. And Jesus proves that by coming to earth, wrapped in flesh. And so the Apostle John, he's writing this letter to believers who were struggling with some of the fundamental aspects of the Christian faith. In particular, they're struggling with what theologians would call their Christology. What does this mean? Their understanding or their theology of who Christ is. And the reason why they're wrestling with this is because at the core of it, they're wrestling with this whole doctrine of how Jesus came from heaven to earth, because there's been some false teaching kind of lurking around the corner. And you do know that whenever God gives you the truth, the enemy is always going to come in and try to snipe out that truth with a lie. So whatever God speaks, you better believe that the enemy is going to be right around the corner to try to diffuse and to disarm what ultimately God has said. But here's the good news about it, man. God's word can never be changed. God's word can never be overcome. God's word is first and last. Whatever God says, that settles it. Whatever he's promised you, it will happen. Matter of fact, the birth of Christ was a promise that God made to his people 600 plus years before Jesus even stepped foot on planet Earth. And you know what happened? Jesus actually stepped foot on planet Earth. Whatever God says, he will produce it. He will finish it. He will proclaim it, and he will make it happen. So whatever God has said to you in your life, better believe that he will perform it. Better believe he will bring it to pass. I don't know what kind of promises God has made to you, but here's the hope. Whatever he's made, whatever promise he's made to you, you better believe in due time, in his perfect time, he will bring it to pass. I'm a living witness that the things that God promises to you, it may not always happen when you want, but it always happens when you need it. Old church will say, he may not come when you want him to come, but he will be on time, because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Like some of y'all just went back right there. Yeah. God always performs, produces his promises, always. And so when the Apostle John is writing to the believers here, he's helping them understand this doctrine of the incarnation of Christ, meaning that Jesus came and put on flesh, meaning that Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% human, which means that Jesus was tempted like us. Jesus struggled like us. Jesus got tired like us. Jesus got hungry like us. Jesus sweat like us. Jesus was working like us. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. That's what he's trying to help them understand. But most of all, he's pointing them to a clear view of who Jesus is so that they can see Jesus clearly. Here's what John is ultimately doing. He's helping them understand who Christ is. He's pointing them to the gift of hope. He's giving the believers another reason to hope again. He's helping them get their hopes up. Tell the person beside you, get your hopes up. That's what he's trying to help them do. He's trying to help them to get their hopes up because their hope has kind of been diminishing, because false teaching has been coming in and kind of antagonizing and kind of been coming against the doctrine of who Christ is. And so John is simply coming in to write this letter in his old age, and he's helping them understand, like, no, I want to help reestablish and rejuvenate your hope by giving you the gift of hope. What is the gift of hope? What's the gift of hope? John 3:16 says it like this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Y'all see how God gave Jesus as a gift? But then here's what 1 Timothy 1 says. The Apostle Paul writes this letter in his opening verse. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. What is the gift of hope? Jesus is God's gift of hope to us. That's what John is trying to help the believers understand. That's the gift of hope that he's trying to get them to receive again, to believe in again. That all the things that you've received, out of all the Christmas gifts that you've received, 2015, 2013, 2014, 2013, years before that, and any other gift that you'll receive in the future, none of them compare to the gift of hope, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the gift of hope. John is given the gift of hope by pointing them to Jesus. So this Christmas season, what is this all about? It's about the gift of hope. It's about Jesus, man. That's what it's always about. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Christmas season, man. I've been watching 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform Channel like every day. And here's what's crazy. I'm gonna show you how bad it is for me and how much I love Christmas movies. Half of the movies that come on, I've recorded. And I'm still watching them like I ain't record them. I love the Christmas season. But those movies don't give me hope. Those movies aren't what I can place my faith in when I'm going through tough times. Those movies are not what I can place my trust in when I'm struggling. The only place, the only person that I can place my hope in when I'm going through tough times is the gift of hope, and his name is Jesus. He is the gift of hope. So John is giving them the gift of hope by pointing them to Jesus, the gift of hope. And from this, we learn some key truths when it comes to giving the gift of hope this Christmas. As Christians, if you're a follower of Christ, in other words, if you've believed in Christ Jesus and what he came to do through his life, death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, if you've believed that, there are some fundamental truths that God wants you and I to understand as it relates to giving the gift of hope. Number one, giving the gift of hope starts with an experience. Verses 1 through 2 kind of capture this essence. Notice what John says: that which was from the beginning. I want to stop there, because it would be crazy for me to overlook this and what John says here, because it's a major component to your faith as a Christian. He says, that which was from the beginning. Now, that's interesting, because the same John who wrote this letter here, 1 John and also 2 John and 3 John, also wrote the gospel according to John. And it's interesting because what John says here in 1 John 1, he also says in the book of John, the gospel according to John, chapter 1. Notice what he says around verse 2. He says, verses 1 through 2, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, some of you guys who don't really have a whole lot of understanding about Christian doctrine are like, man, what's this whole thing about the Word and He? Here's what John is ultimately saying. Jesus, the Son of God, who is often called and oftentimes called the Word of God, he was with God the Father in the beginning. What beginning? In the beginning. Try to figure that out. He's the self-existing one. He's always existed. In other words, there's no beginning, no end to him. Not one bit. So isn't this crazy that John is kind of pointing them back to how it all started? John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is referred to as the Word. He was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit in the beginning. He was and is one with God. We sang a song earlier. Holy, 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 God in three persons, blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. They are co-eternal. They are co-equal. The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, was with God the Father, reigning and ruling. And then part of God the Father's redemptive plan, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, also called the Word here in John chapter 1, was sent to be our forgiveness and to be our hope. That's what John is trying to help them understand. He's taking them back to the beginning. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1. Notice what John continues to say. He says, that which was from the beginning, meaning Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. What's the word of life? Jesus. What are you talking about? The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. What are you talking about again? He's talking about Jesus. What is John really getting at here? Here's what John, it's brilliant what John is doing. Because for believers who are struggling with understanding how Christ came in flesh, you know what John does? John doesn't point to what he knows about Jesus. John points to what he saw in Jesus. John was like, no. Don't get it twisted. This isn't just something we heard. I saw him. I walked with him. I was there when he bled on the cross. I was there when he was resurrected. I was there. John is speaking not from hearsay. John is speaking from a personal experience with Jesus. He says, we have seen him. We've heard him. We even touched him with our own hands. Before he died on the cross and after he resurrected, we saw him. We know that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14 says that. We know that because we've lived it. We've experienced it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, and we have seen, and we have seen, and we have seen, and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He isn't speaking from somebody else's experience, y'all. John is speaking from his own experience. Jesus put on flesh, in other words, incarnation. And then John speaks of this experience. Jesus came to earth not so you could just know about him. Jesus came to earth so that way you could experience him. You want to know the biggest difference between people who are Christians and not Christians? People who may know about Jesus and people who've experienced Jesus. I've come across many people in my lifetime, plenty of people who know about Jesus, believe that he existed. But the problem is they've never experienced Jesus because they never received him by faith. They don't believe that he came in flesh. They don't believe that he lived a sinless life. They don't believe that he was butchered pretty much on a cross and was beat beyond recognition. They don't believe that he took upon himself our sinfulness so that way we could take upon ourselves his righteousness by faith. They don't believe that he resurrected. They know of Jesus. They believe that he was a great man. They believe that he may have been a great prophet and a great teacher, but they've never experienced him because they haven't crossed over from knowing to experiencing. And this Christmas season is all about you experiencing Jesus. That's what this Thursday is all about. People, not just hearing about Jesus, but experiencing Jesus. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this, that the message and the meaning of Christmas is this, that God has given his best gift to the worst people. That's what the message and meaning of Christmas is. He gave his best gift to the worst people. Who are the worst people? You and me, because scripture says it like this, that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Just in case you thought you were that good, you really aren't. And thank God that's the case, because God sends his son Jesus, not to make us good, but to make us alive. That's why you always hear terms like eternal life. He came to give life and have it and give it to you more abundantly. That's what it's about, y'all. It's about an experience. The question I want to ask you is this today. Have you experienced Jesus? Have you really walked with Jesus? Now, some of you guys, the wheels are turning, and you're really super, super smart, and you're kind of really analytical, and you raise questions like me when I'm looking at this text. Okay, John, I hear you talking about you've seen Jesus, you've heard Jesus, you've even touched Jesus, but the problem in my generation is we weren't like your generation. We didn't walk with Jesus. We didn't talk with Jesus. We didn't see Jesus with our physical eyes. So how can I experience Jesus if I don't have all of my senses, touch, taste, smell? How can I experience Jesus if I don't have the same encounter with Jesus as you? And here's what John would tell us. Experiencing Jesus is not about your senses. Experiencing Jesus is all about your faith. That's what it's about. Here's how we know this to be true. Because as Jesus would grow and as he would become a man all throughout his 33 plus years of living, many people saw Jesus. Many people walked with Jesus. Many people heard Jesus. Many people even bumped into Jesus. But them same people did not experience Jesus because they didn't believe it. And that's so counterintuitive to our culture, because our culture says that if you see it, then that gives you reason to believe it. That's not how God's kingdom works. God says it's not about seeing and then believing. It's about believing and then you'll see. I'll prove it to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how good this theology is. I was watching this movie by the name of The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. It's like a Christmas classic. I was watching this the other day with Josiah, and we like to watch this all the time. And it was one line in the movie that just absolutely, like, I just love it. I was like, man, she's preaching good right now. Santa Claus got good theology up in here. And here's what happened. Tim Allen, as he's wrestling with becoming Santa Claus and all this good stuff, he says, I see it, but I don't believe it. And one of the head elves named Judy, she said, pretty much, this is my translation, she was like, that's the problem with you big people. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. I said, oh my gosh. That's the Christmas message. Because many people say, I got to see Jesus to believe him. Jesus says, if you don't believe me, you'll never see me. That's how the kingdom of God works. You believe, then you'll see. You believe, then you see. This is why Jesus, after he died and after he resurrected, the scripture says that he appeared to his disciples and he had a conversation with a guy by the name of Thomas. And Thomas was like, hey, if I don't see him and if I don't touch him, I don't believe him. Jesus, out of nowhere, go back and read it in John chapter 20, he pops up in the room out of nowhere. Doors were locked and everything. Crazy. And Jesus says to him, touch my hands, Thomas, the same nail-scarred hands here. And he touches his hands and he hears Jesus and he sees Jesus. And he says, oh, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Pretty much, I believe. And then Jesus says these words here in John chapter 20, verse 29. He says like this, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The blessing is not in seeing, y'all. The blessing is in believing. And that's what John is trying to help them understand here. That it's about believing, that the way you experience God is by believing in who he is, and is by believing in what Jesus the Christ, his son, came to do. That's how you experience God. And so many people are looking for this crazy experience with God, but they're waiting to see all these extravagant miracles and all these extravagant things. And God's like, the greatest miracles was me sending my son Jesus to planet Earth to bridge the gap between myself and humanity. And all you got to do is believe it by faith and you'll experience the life I want to give you. But honestly, let's just be real, man. That's the thing where we struggle the most. We struggle with believing. And many of us in here who are even Christ followers, man, your issue is not in believing in the resurrection and even in the incarnation, the birth of Christ. Your issue is trusting God every day with simple things. Oh my gosh, my AC broke. Oh my gosh, my life is dead. How am I going to live now? My goodness, like some of you guys are worried right now in here because like the heat is on. Oh my gosh, am I going to pass out? Some of us, like, we deal with financial issues, and all of a sudden, we just go crazy. And God is like, if I was faithful to raise my son from the grave, do you not think I'll be faithful to provide for you? If I kept my promise that I made 600 years ago, saying that I would send my son, and then I did it, will I not keep my promise that I've made to you? That's where we oftentimes as believers struggle. We struggle with everyday things. Many of us in here, we struggle with worry and doubt and fear. And it all comes back to this thing right here, man. It's all about believing. It's all about this experience. Giving the gift of hope starts with this experience, experiencing God. But here's where it goes. It goes from this experiencing God to also experiencing how God is moving in your life. You've seen God do amazing things in your life. You've seen God provide for you. You've seen God make a way out of no way. You've seen God do the miraculous. Doctors told you that certain things would not happen, and they were wrong because God did it. You've seen God do it. You've seen it. That was your experience. You were trusting him, and then he did it. But here's the good news. That experience is not just to stay with you. That experience is for you to give to others. That giving a gift of hope, it starts with an experience, but it should lead, secondly, to an expression. Notice what John says constantly all throughout these verses in verses 1 through 3. He says constantly, we proclaim this concerning the word of life. We proclaim to you the eternal life. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Notice that John says multiple times, we proclaim. In other words, proclaim simply means in the original language, we tell. We go announce. We share it with others. And in the original language, in the Greek original translation, it's in the active present tense voice, which means we do this on a regular basis. We don't stop. So we constantly tell others about what God has done for us. We constantly tell others about how good God is. We constantly share with others how God can make a way out of no way. That's what we do. We don't stay silent with our story. We share our story. And many of us in here, man, we're guilty of having these great experiences with God, but never telling anybody about them. Many of us are guilty of coming in here or coming in here, going to your church service week after week and be like, man, it was an awesome worship experience. But you don't tell nobody about it all week long. Just selfish with the glory of God. And God is like, that experience that you had with me wasn't just so that way you can look back on it and say how good I was, but that experience was that so that you could share it with other people. That's what it was all about. But let me also say this. You can't express what you haven't experienced. So maybe part of the reason why we're not expressing our experiences is because maybe we really haven't truly haven't had a good experience with God. Maybe we haven't had a real experience with God. Maybe you just had a typical church Sunday experience where you just come on Sunday, hear the words of a song sung, lift up a finger, say one word, half stay awake during the message, and then leave. You didn't have an experience with God. You checked off the duty to come to church service that Sunday, which would make sense as to why you don't have an expression of God. Because true experience with God always yields to an expression of who God is. This is why John says, we proclaim this. I'm proclaiming this. Why? Because I've seen what God has done. I've seen who God is. What do we proclaim? Here's what John says, verse 2 through 3. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. What did John see and hear? He saw and he heard Jesus, man. That's what he saw. And for your life personally, what have you seen Jesus do in your life personally? You were praying to God, asking God to provide financially, and he did it. You saw and you heard. You wept, you fasted, you prayed, you lost weight over that thing. And he did it, but you didn't tell nobody about it. John is saying, proclaim it. Go tell people, which is why Jesus, after his resurrection, he says, go make disciples. Go tell others about what I've done. That's why the song would say, go tell it on the mountain. That's what it's about. Go tell what you've experienced. Go tell what you've seen. Go tell, man. Don't just sit and receive. Go and tell. Why do we proclaim? Verse 3, he says this, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Why do we proclaim? We proclaim Jesus and what he's done so that way people can have fellowship with God. That's why. I don't know if y'all knew this, man. You got people around you right now that are broken. You got people right now on your job who don't know Jesus. You ask them, like, hey, man, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know how to answer the question? I go to church. That's a telling answer right there. It's because you go to church don't mean you know Jesus and you've experienced Jesus. You got plenty of people in your neighborhood right now. We left to come to church service and that neighborhood is full of cars. Plenty of potential, a mission field, right? To reach people, to go tell people, which means this, that all this week, man, you need to get some of these and you need to just go leave it on people's doors. Just go leave them. Just give them to people. Go tell people. Go invite people. Because you got plenty of people around you who need to hear about the hope of the world. This is what it means to give the gift of hope. That's what it's about, y'all. To go tell. That's why we proclaim so people can have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. I'll be honest with you guys. This week I shared with you guys that I was in the gym this week and I extended the invitation to the guy that I work out with from time to time to come to church service. Do you know what the enemy was speaking to me in my mind? The temptation? The temptation was not to not invite him, but the temptation was to wait to invite him at the right time. It was interesting. Because as I'm thinking, like, I need to invite this guy, I just hear this subtle temptation and this subtle thought, like, nah, but you don't want to be all down his throat with it. You don't want to bombard him with it. That's like some of the excuses that we typically buy into as to why we can't share our faith. No, I don't want to make them uncomfortable. No, I don't want to do that. And I knew it was the lie of the enemy because God had given me this great opportunity to share Christ with him and extend the invitation to him. And it was so tough not to give in to the temptation, but by the grace of God, extending the invite to him. It's all about going to tell people, man, you got people around you who need the grace and the hope of Christ. You got plenty of people around you. You got neighbors. You got family members. You got cousins. You got aunts. You got nieces. You got nephews. You got siblings, man. You got people around you who need to hear about the glory of God and about the hope of Christ. Man, you guys can come up. I'm closing. This Christmas is all about you giving a gift of hope. It's about you sharing hope with people, man. It's about sharing your experience with others. The gift of hope that you're giving to others is one that will never get old. The gift of hope that you give this Christmas will last the next Christmas and the next Christmas and the next Christmas and the next Christmas. That's why it's called eternal. Eternal life. That's what God is commissioning us to do. To give to people the gift of hope. To reach out to people with the light of Christ. I'll say this. That an experience with no expression is a delusion. In other words, if you've had an experience and you don't express it, you don't share it, you're delusional. You've missed it. But also, an expression with no experience is deception. And what I mean by that is many people will say they know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, but really don't. What God calls us to is to have both. An experience with an expression. An experience with an expression. So here is what I'm asking. That this Christmas, we would be intentional with giving the gift of hope. That we would do it. That we will step outside of our comfort zones. To step into the life of somebody else who needs hope. And why do we do this? Because that is what Jesus did for us. He stepped out of heaven into our lives, which was a hopeless situation, to give us hope. That's what he did. In verse 4, John closes this first section that he writes. He says, we write all this to you, believers, about Jesus, about his incarnation, how he was with God the Father from the beginning. He says, we write this to make our joy complete. Why would John say this? It sounds kind of narcissistic. But it wasn't. The reason why John says this is because he knows that there's no greater joy that you could feel and I could feel than by being used by God to lead others into a relationship with God. It's one of the greatest joys you will ever experience. There's nothing greater than seeing people that you've reached out to come into fellowship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a joy that the world cannot give. That is a joy that this world cannot take away. And many of us have missed out on that joy because we're not given a gift of hope. But my hope and prayer is that this Christmas holiday, that you would be intentional with extending grace to people and by sharing the gift of hope, which is Christ. That you would tell people why Jesus came. That you would tell people why Christmas is such a big deal. It is a big deal. I don't care if Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus stepping from eternity into time so that way you and I can have a relationship with him. That's what it's about. Don't get distracted with all the arguments that people like to have. That missed the whole point of why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so that way people can argue what day he came on. Jesus came so that way you and I could receive him and have life. That's the focal point. And that's what I hope we focus on this holiday season. That's what I hope that we do. And I pray that the Lord will put people in our path this week, starting today, that we need to reach out to this week, starting today, who need the gift of hope. People that you know who are hurting, people that you know who are broken. Maybe it's your family members, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your aunt, uncle, brother, sister, people that you know who just need the hope of Christ. Some of us are saying, but what happens if I share this gift with them and they reject it? Here's the reality. Your job is not to determine whether or not they receive it. Your job is to just share it with them. I can't control whether or not somebody unwraps the gift. My job is to give the gift to them. But they can never unwrap the gift if you never give the gift in the first place. So today, man, give the gift of hope to people. Jesus and what he's come to do. That's what it's about. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we prepare to pray and go, giving the gift of hope is about sharing with others what God has given to you. I want you to think about how hurting you were before Jesus stepped into your life. I want you to think about how broken you were, how lost you were, how crazy you were, how you were just making terrible decision after terrible decision, how empty you were. I want you to think about all those things, how you were before Jesus stepped into your life. I want you to think about that. Think about how you had no fulfillment. Think about it. Think about how broken you were, how hopeless and helpless you were before Jesus stepped into your life. Think about that. Please think about that. And as you think about that, I want you to know that there are other people who are feeling what you felt prior to Jesus stepping into your life. But how this Christmas, that could potentially change in their lives. How this Christmas, they could step in to relationship and fellowship with God and receive the eternal life that Christ Jesus gives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this Christmas, God, we would give the gift of hope. We understand that it started with an experience that we had with you, how we've seen you do miraculous things in our life, how you forgave us of our sin, how you made us alive in Christ Jesus. And it all started with Jesus stepping into this world. That's where it all started, with his birth. But we also understand that it doesn't stop with an experience, but it leads to an expression, that our expression is to proclaim what you have done, to go tell everywhere and everyone what you have done for us. And what this season is all about. So I pray that you will place us in the path of people who need you the most. That we won't turn a deaf ear and a blind eye any longer to people who need your grace. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, maybe you're hurting right now. Maybe you're broken right now. Maybe you're lost right now. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're helpless and hopeless. You have no idea how situations are going to work in your life. You've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in others, and it has not worked. It has failed every time. Here's what I want to encourage you and ask you to do. Why don't you trust in Jesus today? Why don't you believe in Christ? Why don't you give him your life? Because when you give him your life, he will give you his. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to receive Christ for myself, I believe that he died, and I want to become a part of the family of Christ. I believe that he stepped into this world. If that's you, you want to become a part of the family of God, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were born into this world so that I could have fellowship with God. I believe that you love me. I believe that you have died for me, and I believe that you raised to life for me. I believe that you are my Lord, and I believe that you are my Savior. And I believe today that I am justified by faith in what you have done. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Amen. Hey, so here's what I want us to do. If you prayed that prayer, you gave Christ your life, you received the eternal life, which means an everlasting relationship with Christ. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, here's what I want us to do. To pull out that worship guide, that connection card that we gave you when you walked in. And I want you to check the box under where it says my decision today. Check the box that says I'm committing my life to Christ. Because we want to reach out to you and just help you grow. We want to celebrate with you with the great decision that you have made to give Christ your life. The greatest gift that a person can...